Jokic behind his back. What a take by Jokic.
That's your sitter. Wow.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Pickaxe Pundit Show. I am your host, Zach Mikosh with DenverStiffs.com. You are listening to Nothing But Net Radio. It is 4 o'clock here in the Mile High City. And if you haven't figured it out, the next hour here on Nothing But Net is all about the Denver Nuggets, as the Pickaxe Pundit Show is the one and only Denver Nuggets dedicated show on Nothing But Net Radio. With me today, two co-hosts. First, down in Colorado Springs, it is Denver Stiffs senior writer Gordon Gross. Gordon, what is happening?
No, just good to be here, although, you know, it's the off season, so unfortunately we have no games, we have no updates, so it'll be a fun podcast. We have one update, at least. A couple updates today.
We have tons of juicy news. I don't know what you're talking about, Gordon. This is a terrible way to introduce shows.
Look, man, they're here for our blazing personalities. The Nuggets have their own thing going on.
Well, that's it. We could be talking about ribeye steaks, and it would still be a good show.
That's right.
Let me tell you. Also joining with us is Denver Stiffs writer Ryan Blackburn. Ryan, what's happening?
Well, speaking of blazing personalities, thanks for having me on, Zach.
I couldn't think of a more blazing personality than Mr. Blackburn. The word burn is in the name. I mean, it's just a given.
Just fits, man.
Ryan, you how many days before you head back to South Carolina?
Well, today is Saturday, so I'll be going back on Wednesday morning. So I'm going to be driving all the way across the country. We'll see what goes on then, but taking my brother across the country to move into a new place.
Nice.
Spoiler alert, that is a terrible drive. Good luck to you.
Oh, done it a couple times. We're going to fight over which audiobook to listen to through
Kansas.
It's awful.
Oh, what do you guys, how you got to get through the heart of the country, the Midwest. Beautiful plains.
And many of them.
I'm sure other things.
Yes. Beautiful plains and, yeah. That's it.
Corn, various
lots
types
of corn.
Wheat. There's lots of corn where I live, so I'm not going to complain. You know, I'm
cow tipping or something. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Do people actually do that? Like, I think this is like an urban legend.
They actually do that. Yes,
they do it because it's an urban legend. Honestly,
right? Yeah. I don't think they did it before it was an urban legend, but once it became an urban legend, they were like, "Hell yeah, we're going to tip some cows."
Hell yeah!
I say, Gordon, you sounded like you were speaking from experience.
Yeah. No. I've had it confirmed to me, but from random people who live in the boonies.
Fair enough. Out east of Colorado Springs, there are. There's
lots. Look, man,
of cows.
All they have is cow tipping and tornadoes. That's how it goes.
five minutes in, and we're at cow tipping and tornadoes. I love it. This is a
welcome to the off season.
Show. Yeah. Welcome to the off season. No, we do have some stuff to talk about this week. I swear. So a little bit of a quick. I want to get into some quick Nuggets news. The Denver they finally fill out the last spot on the roster when they sign Devon Akun-Purcell. He will have a two-way contract, so he'll play primarily in the G League. But we'll still talk a little bit about that. And then
Torrey Craig would play in the G League too, but that didn't happen.
True.
He was like,
"Oh,
I'll just hang out with the Nuggets the whole time. It'll be fine."
That's very true. After that, we got dual schedule releases. First, the Nuggets released their preseason schedule. Then they released their regular season schedule. We're gonna break them down both in depth, like you've never seen before. And then finally, we'll probably kill some time ranking. I don't know. We'll rank some the young cores in the NBA or something.
Do you really think we're getting this? Okay? No, I love your optimism, Zach. Keep that. Never lose your optimism.
It is true. We got the cow tipping, and in the Midwest. So
got the Gordon Ryan duo in the house. Like, there is no way we're getting to segment four.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Fair enough. Well, let's dive in. Devon Akun-Purcell, the probably, I would have to say, the biggest standout in of people who didn't have any sort of contract, any sort of guaranteed contract, or a draft pick with the Denver Nuggets, probably who's the biggest standout in summer league, played the best of anyone. He had, in my eyes, he had some hero ball for sure there as summer league went on, which you kind of tend to see of guys who don't have contracts because they're trying to earn one. So
you
that's
get points, man. You don't get hired without scoring.
Right, yeah, exactly. Who is it said that you don't get paid for playing defense?
Right?
Jabari Parker, baby.
That's right, Jabari Parker.
That's how it is.
Boom. He knows what's up. So, yeah, Devon Akun-Purcell, I mean, he was definitely the best looking out of the group there. Gordon, are you happy with him? Do you think he's the guy that they should have gone with, or was there somebody else maybe that they could have given that two-way contract to?
Yeah, like off the summer league roster that Denver fielded, he was certainly the guy that you would have given it to. I expected him to go outside of their summer league team, but they didn't feel like doing that. And honestly, he fills a certain role, especially if they wind up moving somebody like Malik Beasley during the season. Right. You've got another like longish, energetic, athletic guard who can jump and, you know, play some defense and can shoot a three ball, you know, or at least showed it in summer league that he could. You know, and he's got a little more seasoning than some of the other guys they could, you know, look at. You know, with him having played a couple of years overseas, he's 25 now. So, I mean, I think he's a good get. It fits a need for them as far as a potential defensive. I can't really say wing. He's a little too small to be a wing. I guess maybe he could be a three in a small ball bench lineup. You know,
he's like 6'5".
He says he's 6'4 and a half with a 6'9 wingspan. So, I mean, Gary Harris is 6'4 and a half in shoes, right, with some lifts.
To me, so, it really just seems like they're gunning for a Torrey Craig 2.0 here.
Yes.
Like, right. they're looking right. for somebody who's a little bit older. They're not going to take a chance on somebody who's 20, 21. They're looking for somebody who they think in a pinch could fill in at the right time. And let's say Torrey Craig goes down and they need another defensive wing.
Right.
They think that, hey, maybe there's a chance that Devon Akun-Purcell could earn that spot if Malik Beasley isn't playing well. I don't know if I see it. We'll just have to see what happens. I think that Torrey Craig at this time last year has kind of proven a little bit more than what Devon Akun-Purcell proved this past summer league. So we'll just have to see. Got to trust what the Nuggets front office and coaching staff is looking at, though, and see. Maybe he's shown them more on the inside than what we've seen on the outside.
Right. And this is what they like to do. They got Axel Toupon 1 year. They had Jakar Simpson. You got like guys that you're looking to fill a role where you're looking for a wing defender or a defensive presence, and you have a guy on standby basically. And with the two-way contracts now, that's what a guy is he's on standby. If something happens to Mason Plumlee, you know, you can call up an emergency big who can stretch the floor, you know, and Thomas Welsh. You've got Devon Akun-Purcell who's down in G League just sitting around. In case of emergency, break glass. That's fine.
I think my biggest problem with it was that if Devon Akun-Purcell was 2 to 3 inches taller, then I think he would be great for this team.
Yeah,
But we've discussed that a lot ad nauseum, honestly. Like, the Nuggets have the combo guard-sized guards, and they don't have the combo wing-sized players.
They don't. Right. They don't even have swingmen, man.
They don't have combo forwards.
Yeah, they have twos. They don't have 2-3s. They don't have 3-4s. They've got twos who are occasionally threes in some lineups.
They've got threes with yep. Leiden and Hernan
right.
Gomez.
Yes, so 4 threes. I'd say that.
If Porter comes along, then maybe this is something to say about his health. Maybe Michael Porter Jr. is a little bit farther along in his recovery than is currently advertised. I don't really know that, and I don't know if I necessarily believe it. Gonna have to wait and see, I guess. But if that is something that they're looking at, maybe with Michael Porter Jr. filling in a role at least towards the end of the season, then that might help Denver.
Right. Yeah. That is true. I think with Akun Purcell, you know, he's like you guys said, he's kind of trying to fill that Torrey Craig role of last year. So the thing you got to look for in him, if you remember, what really made Torrey Craig bust out last season was they put him in the G League, and we joked that he was the LeBron James of the G League because he just dominated every single game. So that's really for Akun Purcell, that's kind of the next step for him. I mean, he's got to have a solid camp, but he knows that he's got a spot to be this season in the NBA, in an NBA system. So it's really about now performing at the G League level. And then, because the one thing that we know is going to happen no matter what is there's going to be an injury somewhere. So,
it's Nuggets. There's no way there's not going to be an injury. Like, come on.
Right. And you've only got two-way guys. So unless that guy is Mason Plumlee or Nikola Jokic or maybe Paul Millsap, you know, they're not likely going to call up Welsh. If it's anybody else, right, they're probably going to call up Akun Purcell because the way they shift people around, he would make more sense. So he could get his chance. You never know, but it's just about being ready and then performing at that. You got to prove it in the G League. Because if you can't dominate the G League, then you're not going to be in the NBA. It's just, I can't think of anybody.
There's not a real role for you, yeah.
Right, yeah. I can't think of anybody who was a role player in the G League that translated into being a role player in the NBA.
Right. Yeah.
Again, it's a flyer. We'll see what happens with it. I'm not really, my standards are not that high with this pickup, but he could absolutely prove us wrong. He could absolutely prove me wrong. And if he ends up being a 38-39% three-point shooter in the NBA, then he certainly has a role.
Well, that's right. What he has to prove, man. Like, honestly, you know, he's got the energy. I'm not sold on his, you know, massive defense, but the wingspan helps, you know, in a Corey Brewer steals kind of way, no matter what. Right. But can he shoot? Like, Corey Brewer couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Except for that one corner.
I think
corner.
That Akun, yo, he can stuck it. He can stick it in the corner. That's fine. But
here's the thing. If Akun Purcell is shooting better than Torrey Craig at a certain point, then maybe he's your guy that you deploy as kind of that bench defensive guard. It just kind of depends on the situation. It kind of depends on how the offense is looking off of the bench units, or if the defense is fine regardless of whether Torrey Craig is in there or not, or if it's not fine regardless of whether Torrey Craig's in there or not. So
right.
that could be an issue both ways, honestly. So overall,
the whole bench is going to be deployed based on who is shooting. Like, if Trey Lyles stops shooting and Juancho Hernangómez starts shooting, Juancho Hernangómez is going to get minutes. Like,
right. Yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty much how this is going to go. If Torrey Craig goes through a shooting slump and Akun Purcell is demolishing the G League,
Malik Beasley is
just, like, raining buckets, then, yeah, maybe you go ahead and you make a switch, because all you need from your bench is enough scoring to hold leads that your starters are getting for you, so you cannot afford to have dead shooting on the bench. And they have enough guys.
It would not surprise me if the bench lineup at the end of the year is Isaiah Thomas and Malik and Mason Plumlee, with Malik Beasley, Devon Akun Purcell, and Torrey Craig in the middle of those three. Just because you've got a switchy lineup. Torrey Craig is a small ball four in that situation, and you just space the floor enough with those three guys who can all switch. To me, that's probably the direction that the NBA is going, and when you get guys like Trey Lyles and Michael Porter Jr. out there, and if they can't defend, then you may see Michael Malone go in a completely different direction like that.
It's possible. I still think it'll be Monte Morris. Monte played with Briante Weber.
Monte, that's true.
And I expect Monte and Isaiah Thomas to handle the guard duties just fine off the bench. They can both pass. They can both play off ball. We'll see how that goes. But it's really going to depend on who's shooting. Like, if you aren't shooting, I don't think you're going to play. That's just important to them.
The thing about it, it'll be just like, you know, when you think about it, Torrey Craig will probably play because he plays defense. And that's the other thing, because the one guy who cares
He's
about,
the only one, he's the guy who does, yeah.
Yeah, the guy who actually mans or is in charge of the rotation, he cares about defense more than anything, so. And trust,
that'll
right?
be his like, token, like, hey, man, if this guy's playing because of defense, you guys need to play more. Like,
right, right. Well, but yeah, I'm just saying, so, like, Torrey Craig is one of Coach Malone's, like, trust guys, you know? So that's what you got to overcome, and that's really – those are the guys that really, I think, will get the minutes in that bench rotation is the guys that Malone can trust to be able to put into the rotation and not just completely – fall apart, whether it's on offense or defense, as we.
That's what I expect more.
Or both,
there,
as we saw with Emmanuel Mudiay.
You're going to want guys who can get it done. It's, if Isaiah Thomas is healthy and Monte Morris doesn't turn the ball over,
right?
And can
yeah,
shoot
and that's
some,
the other side, right? Don't
turn Torrey, Torrey Craig doesn't need plays run for him, so he can just clear out for Isaiah and just do transition dunks and stuff. Like, it'll be fine. That's what you want. Is you want a bunch of guys who understand their role and don't make stupid mistakes.
Absolutely. All right, we got to move on. We spent way too much time on Devon Gooden-Grissel.
This is your fault, man.
This is my fault. I take the full blame. I take the full blame for the Danish, right? Is it the?
Yes, you know, he went. He was a Danish MVP. Yeah.
The Danish MVP.
Oh yeah.
You're right. That's pretty big time. If you ask me. All right. So. Let's break into the big news of the week was that the NBA schedule was released, as well as the Nuggets preseason schedule was released a little bit earlier than that. We got the Christmas Day. Well, I think it was like the very first thing that came out. That was back on Monday. So we got nothing else to talk about. So Gordon was very upset that I was like, we're gonna spend most of the time talking about the schedule, but, you know. We gotta do it, man.
Some days you get steak, and some days you gotta eat your vegetables, and this is a vegetable day.
Right. They can't all be trade deadline shows, you know. All right, there's gotta be some August shows in there as well. So the Nuggets, 5 preseason games, 3 of them in Los Angeles. Well, no, not 3 of them against teams from Los Angeles. One of them in San Diego at a casino. And then the only one home game, that's against the Perth Wildcats. Finally, and then they ended up at Chicago. Ryan, what do you think, man? One home game against the Perth Wildcats. How pumped are you to see the Perth Wildcats in the Pepsi Center, even though you won't actually be able to see them because you'll be in South Carolina? How pumped would you be if you were here?
Very little. Personally, it's. Frankly, it's
no
to
love
me.
For
it's a
Perth.
It's whatever. It's to me. It's a disappointing schedule. Like you're trying to drum up some interest in the team this year, and the most you can do is you've got the new uniforms, and that's great. But beyond the additions that they made in the offseason, like if the biggest thing that they're going to do is travel to Los Angeles and play LeBron, then that's the wrong thing that they're doing for their fans. The goal should be to get as much excitement for the team as possible during the preseason, in my opinion. I don't think it's something that you just have to go through. I feel like it's something that should be used to your advantage, not necessarily in the finance books, but in terms of selling season tickets later on.
Yeah, you don't think Perth Wildcats sell season tickets?
It's a no from me, dog.
It's an over.
Right. And my issue, like, it's not the preseason scheduling is what it is. Like, you're going to get your 5 games. It's not a long, like, 8 or 9 game preseason anymore. And that's fine. Like, I'm glad they shortened it. That's so they can get more rest during the season. Good for them.
Right.
You don't need 9 preseason games. You're fine. But I just wish the Nuggets would televise some of this stuff. I wish they would put a package together. I wish they would treat it like it's important. Oh, there's so many. When your own network is pushing you onto like its alternate station because they have better things to show, and there may not even be any hockey on that night, they just feel like showing the great outdoor games or whatever it is that they're showing.
Golf
like
at altitude.
I don't. Yeah, I don't feel like the Nuggets treat their brand the way that I feel like their brand should be treated if they want to be taken seriously. The Nuggets got a lot of NBA games this year for national games. And we'll talk about that in a second. So that's good. Maybe they can build some goodwill without having to push their own product. But I kind of feel like they should push their own product more.
Right. Well, So, as we were talking about this before we came on, that you guys know that I'm kind of on the opposite side of the fence on it, because I look at it. I don't know.
You don't
how
care
much
about the preseason. Yeah,
I do. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. So, I do care about the preseason, and you guys care about the preseason, and it's something that we want to get excited about, and we want to be able to watch all the games from the comfort of our homes, not have to, you know, stream some grainy website where there's, like, different pop-up ads coming up all over the place and stuff like that. Like,
that would never happen.
Right. we don't do that, but we don't want to be forced to do things like that either. So, the thing about it for me, though, is you know, I get that we're not the norm, that we're the diehards, right? The very, very small percentage of people. And I just don't know that you're going to drum up excitement with preseason games, no matter how much you promote them. You know what I mean?
And that's true, but I just, when you go into the season, you're trying to sell fans who may not have tuned in because you still haven't made the playoffs.
Right.
You know, in 5 years. So maybe they haven't come back, but maybe you need to explain to them who the team is. That's what your preseason games are for. You get to show who the bench people are. You can explain stories to people. You can set the table
who the
for yourself.
Players are.
I'm just saying, you get to set the table. You get to explain what's been going on over the summer. You get to explain the extensions to players and who got kept and why, and you can have interviews because nobody cares about the games going on. Get the coaches to come in. Get an assistant coach to sit down. Get a player, like a real player who's not going to play in this game, to sit down and just talk to people and get on the air. And this is what you ramp up for. You explain your team to the fan base who may not have watched you on Altitude because nobody watches Altitude. Like, this is
like
sort of your problem.
Golf at Altitude?
To me, it's the dichotomy that nobody watches Altitude, but they don't broadcast preseason games anyway. So,
it's like the chicken and the egg, right?
Yep, right. Yeah, which one is it?
To me, you have to start somewhere, and whether you start losing money, as somebody who spent the entire summer in an internship where it wasn't necessarily the biggest goal to make money, it's more about developing relationships and working on that money down the line. Like, that's the kind of relationship that you have to take with these fans, is that if you make a fan for life, then they'll be buying tickets for the rest of their life. But in order to do that, you have to start doing some of these promotions and making your tickets accessible and your games accessible and going the extra mile, even if it doesn't necessarily earn you that much money up front. Because once you do that, you may change the minds of a lot of people down the line.
So
Pennywise and Pound Foolish, that's been me with the Nuggets for a long time, with the way that they handle their business with their team. And I'm hoping that changes, but this preseason schedule, it hasn't changed yet, and that's all.
And we haven't heard anything about a G League team or anything like new training facilities or there are other things that they could be advertising and pushing that we just haven't seen. Like for example, they don't have a 2K League team, which sounds kind of stupid for a lot of people, but there are reasons that other teams are doing it.
Like, but Ryan's trying to get a summer job, people, and he's pretty good at 2K.
Come on now. Ryan needs a gig.
I've been honing my game, honing my craft.
Honing my craft on the sticks every day. I get what you guys are saying. So I think there's a couple ideas that I have that you could make it so that you could at least try and, you know, meet people halfway, which is, first of all, have more than one home game, right? So the reason they're going to broadcast...
Yes.
They're going to broadcast the home game, obviously, because they don't have to spend all the money on hotels and travel and trucks to take all their equipment and pay for Chris Marlowe and his 5-star hotel that I'm sure that he stays in. And, you know, all that giant expense, you just do it at home, and it's a lot cheaper. So just have more than one home game. You play 5 games, have at least 2 of them at home. And then that way, You can at least broadcast 2 home games, and then you go broadcast one away game. So there's at least 3 of the 5 that you can broadcast. And then the other 2, I mean, we're in this age of social media. Adam Mara has pointed out to me that the San Antonio Spurs did this, where they broadcast their just the arena cam, like on Facebook Live or something like that. So like, you can do that.
Too. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you can absolutely do that.
And that's how you do the other, you know, you do the other 2 games. And then that way there's a way, not only, okay, are you're meeting the old school fans who are going to watch Altitude, but you're also marketing and testing out a new medium to reach fans, a younger generation of fans, and be able to draw them in, and drum up that excitement like you've been talking about, Ryan. So that, to me, that's kind of what I would do if I was suddenly CEO of Altitude TV. If anybody wants to see my qualifications, I can leave those. I'll leave those down in the comments.
I have a resume handy. It's been burnished. Oh, yeah.
But no, yeah, I mean, because I get it. I get it. I understand the financial side of it, I don't know that the return on investment is necessarily there with preseason games. I think,
there are things you can do. There are things you can do to, like, try to minimize cost, but you know,
do more than what you're doing now, which is the bare minimum.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Taking it away from the coverage of the actual preseason, and actually, I want to point out here too, I'm actually kind of stoked to see the Perth Wildcats because I know nothing about the Perth Wildcats, but you know, ooh, you know.
Well,
what?
I wonder if Torrey Craig played them when he was in Brisbane.
I'm sure he did.
Well, no, don't be sure, man. Perth is on the other side of the whole freaking continent. Like,
that's true. That's out on the west coast.
Perth is, yeah. There's Perth and 1,000 miles of nothing, and then the next town. Like, that's how it is.
1,000 miles of like giant spiders and crazy snakes and the rest of the outback. But I don't know. It could be interesting. You know, the one thing that might be concerning, or maybe not, but if you can count on probably a physical game, because that's one thing Torrey Craig said about the NBL. He said, man, that is a man's league over there.
Well, did you watch the Australia versus, what was it, the Philippines, where guys were, like, throwing knees?
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were they went into full-scale brawl mode, didn't they?
Yeah. It was, like, 15 guys got suspended or whatever. It was crazy. So they definitely throw down. It's a very physical game. If you saw any footage of Torrey Craig playing in that league and the kind of fouls that he took and was giving, like, yeah, that's they play hard. So I'm curious to see what kind of ball skills and what kind of physical game they bring to the Pepsi Center. That'll be fun.
That's actually a good thing for the Nuggets, because that's definitely one thing about the Nuggets that we know is if you really want to beat them, a good way to do it is just get physical with them. They've never had anybody like, ever since, you know, like guys like Kenyon Martin and Dante Jones, and even to an extent, you know, the Chris Anderson. Once those guys left, they kind of lost their kind of bad boy edge to them, and really they've never had, you know, they're a team that can be kind of pushed around, I think, a little
bit.
They're
a finesse team, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're always especially a finesse offense, and you adapt to the skills of your best player, and that's just who Nikola Jokic is, rightly or wrongly. So you have to beat them with finesse, and you have to beat them with skill, and that'll be a good test for them. And okay, so you've drummed up my excitement for the Perth Wildcats.
Yes.
Well, so, if you're gonna bring in the Washington Generals, at least make sure the Washington Generals are gonna like push your guys around a minute and let them wake up for the regular season. That's fine.
Look, I just want to point out to anybody from the Perth Wildcats listening how I just totally sold Ryan. So, also, if you want to offer me some beachside property and a nice cushy job with your organization, you can check me out.
Also acceptable. He has a resume. Don't forget. Yeah.
All right, tell you what, let's do. Let's go ahead. Let's hit a break. When we come back, I want to shift the focus on the preseason. We'll stick with preseason for just a little bit longer, but I want to shift it more about the actual play on the court. You're going to make you do it, Gordon.
Damn.
And then after that, we'll actually get into the regular season and talk about the real juicy part of the show. So I know that's a terrible pitch, but hang around, we will be right back. We've all been there. When the budget's the tightest or a time is the shortest, that's when disaster strikes. The last thing anyone wants to deal with in these times is an electrical issue in their home or business. Maybe your light suddenly won't turn on, or maybe a home inspector wants that electrical service changed before you can close out on a property you're selling. Heck, maybe it's not even an emergency at all, and you're just looking to finish out your basement or get some power ran to that new AC unit. Whatever your need may be, give Sun Electrical a call.
They're a family-owned and operated business that serves the Front Range, and you can be assured that you'll not only get the highest quality service, but you'll also get the most affordable price as well. Mike, the owner of Sun Electrical, will come to your home or business personally to evaluate your situation and provide a free estimate. And he stands by the work Sun performs as a fully licensed and insured electrical contractor. So give him a call, 719-659-6888. Don't be fooled by the phone number, as they'll serve the entire Front Range from Colorado Springs to Fort Collins and everywhere in between. That's 719-659-6888. 719-659-6888. Sun Electrical, the home of truly affordable electrical work. Welcome back into the Pickaxe Pundit Show. Zach Mikosh, Gordon Gross, Ryan Blackburn. We spent our first half of the show talking about Devon Akun-Purcell, the Nuggets preseason, and some various other topics, U.S. geography.
We spent 25 minutes talking about Devon Akun-Purcell and the Perth Wildcats.
Yes.
We're pulling man's work right here, my friend.
Prime mid-August. I love it. Well, let's keep it going. Let's wrap up this preseason conversation. I will do it quickly for Gordon's sake. But Gordon, I want you to give me one thing in the NBA preseason that you will be watching for from the Denver Nuggets.
Staying healthy? Like,
that's a fair one.
Like, honestly, man, like, please, just get through this without having any more random wrist injuries or back injuries.
Brawls with the Australian team.
Yeah, don't get into a brawl and break an eye orbit or something. Like, I want them to be healthy, and then honestly, the preseason, just half of it's going to be bench play. Way more bench play for the first couple of games than you would normally expect to see before the starters take over.
Right.
So I want to see who comes out firing. Like, Wancho, and I guess Malik in particular, but Wancho I want to see. He was, as a rookie, Wancho made a lot of people have some pretty high expectations of him, me included, and then he played well in over the summer with the Spanish national team, and you were like, great, he's ready to go. Then he caught mono, right, and then he was supplanted and kicked out of the rotation and basically erased, you know, by the time the season ended. There was no Wancho. So how is he going to find some minutes? What's he going to come out like, you know, when he has time to make an impression? Torrey Craig made one in the preseason last year, and that was important for when they needed somebody. They called him, and I expect that somebody like Wancho is going to have to do that again, and I'm looking forward to seeing who wants to throw their hat in the ring for more minutes on a crowded team that they've already got.
Yeah, that is a very good point. Yeah, you got this whole kind of cluster of young guys who are at this point in their careers where it's like, all right, if you're gonna do something, now is the time. Which is but it's funny because it's for such like a minor part there, and it's for maybe like 20 minutes in the rotation is about all these guys are vying for, which is a kind of a contrast of last season where we didn't know who the starting point guard was going to be
right
at that time. You know, this year the starting lineup is very set, so it's you kind of have to dig deeper for what you're looking for, and I think you hit kind of the nail on the head. Is just watch and see which one of these young guys. I throw Tyler Lydon in that mix. I throw Trey
yeah,
Lyles.
Absolutely.
I think is still
all
in
those
that
guys
mix.
Competing.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. They're all competing, and there's maybe two spots. Right. You got like the backup power forward spot, which will probably be about 20 or so minutes at best, and the backup two guard spot, which will be probably about 20 minutes or so at best. So that's really the two places. So, and that's where all of these young guys who are really, if they're going to make it, now is going to have to be the time. So that is definitely what I'm watching for as well. Ryan, are you kind of in the same boat?
Not at all. No, I think you guys completely missed the boat on this one. It's Isaiah Thomas.
That's good. That is a very good one, actually.
how is Isaiah Thomas going to come out and look? Like, what Isaiah Thomas version are we getting? Are we getting the 2016-17 version who comes off screens and comes off and isolates going downhill and just balls out and puts up a 29 per game on not a championship contender, but like an Eastern Conference Finals contender? Or are you getting the Isaiah Thomas who is kind of a locker room issue, not a cancer, but an issue, and somebody who completely lost efficiency and never had defense to begin with? So I think both of those are really interesting factors. If Denver is getting the former, then they're going to be really, really good. If they're getting the latter, then it's going to be a lot more difficult. And I know that with Monty Morris developing, it's going to be probably fine if they don't get the old Isaiah Thomas. But if things don't go according to plan, then as we saw over the last couple of years, having a bad backup point guard situation really screws things up.
Right.
So that to me is the biggest thing over the course of this preseason is how is Isaiah Thomas looking?
So That's a very good point. Let me throw this at you guys. Let's say we get the good Isaiah Thomas. Let's say we get the Isaiah Thomas. Let's say he's all the way back. He's back to just the way he was in his last year in Boston. Does he start over Jamal Murray in that scenario?
Nope.
No. Go in that six man.
They told him he wasn't going to do that. I mean, as far as I can tell, they specifically said that Jamal Murray is their point guard of the future. We're just here. You can do awesome things with us, but don't expect it to be, you know, a long-term gig where you supplant the guy that we've got. And so they're not going to mess with Jamal that way, I would assume.
Yeah, but it's just like, I don't, if you get, like, I mean, Jamal Murray is good, but Isaiah Thomas in his last year in Boston was an MVP candidate.
I understand that, but you can find minutes for him that he
I mean, you can give him all of Will Barton's minutes, basically.
Yeah, but there's so much ball time, man. Like, he's so ball dominant. Now, that could work out. It worked out with Al Horford, obviously.
Right.
And it will work out with Nikola Jokic offensively, that's for
defensively,
sure.
Defensively, it's so...
It will not work out with Nikola Jokic defensively.
Yeah, you can't start that.
Like, there's... I just don't think that that's possible, unless... I think there's a possibility that you could start it if you're trading Jamal Murray for a starting three guard that plays defense like a Kawhi Leonard or a Jimmy Butler or something like
that. Yeah,
that
whole Paul George,
like that,
Jimmy Butler
that
thing
see,
I could see, yeah.
But that's a very unlikely scenario. And frankly, I think the Nuggets have handled this as well as they could. They got the best possible option that they could for the veteran minimum with the highest possible ceiling.
Right.
And they will continue going on with Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Nikola Jokic, and hopefully somebody like Michael Porter Jr. or Jared Vanderbilt.
And they also put in and they got the contingency plan locked in when they signed Monty Morris as well. So they you know, I don't think anybody can doubt they've done it right. They've built it well. I just say it's just an interesting idea to me that I've been thinking. I mean, if Isaiah Thomas gets back to what he was, I mean, that's an incredibly good player. The nice thing, though, is, you know, Wilson Chandler is gone. He had about 30, he averaged, I think, over 30 minutes a game. So you could certainly give that time to Isaiah Thomas and then give Devin Harris's minutes to Torrey Craig. And you've got enough versatility there.
Yeah, they've got it.
They could do it. They can get everyone their minutes. They can get Isaiah Thomas 30 minutes a game, even off the bench. And like you said, Ryan, and then he could win the sixth man of the year. That's probably, I mean, that's not a bad, wouldn't
be a,
and it's,
I
say it wouldn't
be
a bad pick if you wanted to make predictions, you know.
Absolutely. If you're looking for a sixth man of the year award guy, you want a guy who's going to put up points. You want a guy who's going to change an offense or while he's out there. And with regard to defensive guys that vie for the sixth man award, it just doesn't happen, guys.
Yep.
Sorry. But he is a great option, especially if Lou Williams steps into the starting lineup on the Los Angeles Clippers.
Right.
Like, I could absolutely see Isaiah Thomas competing for that award, especially if he's putting up like an absurd 16, 18 points per game with like five assists or so. Like that to me seems like a reasonable ceiling for
right.
him.
Yep, I agree. All right, let's shift gears and look in towards the regular season now, the actual games that matter. Not that the preseason doesn't matter, unless you're Altitude TV.
Bad.
I couldn't resist. It was there. It was just there. It was the low-hanging fruit. The Nuggets get 14. We hinted at this earlier. The Nuggets get 14 national TV games, and we're not counting NBA TV channel games, which is it's like, all right, that's technically national TV for like the 20% of America who gets that channel. But these are 14 games that'll either be on TNT or ESPN. That is certainly a big bump from a continued trend upward over the past couple of years. What was it? Like, it was maybe 4 years ago when they had zero.
Yeah, they had zero games, but they had one, and then I think it got taken away, yeah, as I recall.
Right. And now they have 14. So, I mean, Gordon, what does this mean? Are the Nuggets, I guess, back? Are they back to kind of that popularity where they were at, you know, back in the 2000s, where it seems like every Wednesday night 8:30 game on ESPN or TNT was going to be a Nuggets game?
I'm curious to see. It would, I mean, back in the 2000s, they could pronounce Carmelo Anthony's name. So step one is someone on the national broadcast getting Jokic's name correct. Like, let's just start with the small.
Somebody's got to sit down with Reggie Miller with some phonetics.
Yeah, just like, look, man, don't call him Nurkic. That's all I'm asking. Like, right. You've had him for 13 games this year already on national TV. By the 14th game, call him by his actual name. Like, that's, I'm trying to be positive about this. But really, like, I think that, first off, there's a bunch of teams in the West that are worth TV time, and there's not a lot of teams in the East that are worth TV time. So, if you're going to be televising a bunch of Eastern Coast games, I expect a lot of that to be West Coast teams coming East. Unless it's rivalry games, like, I expect there's going to be a ton of Philly and Boston games, as I recall, looking at the schedule. But otherwise, you know, there's not a lot that you're going to be looking at where you're like, oh, I want to tune in to see the Charlotte Hornets, you know, play on a TNT national game. That's not what you want to see. So I'm glad to see that the Nuggets are part of that parcel. Like, Utah got a ton of games. What was Utah, like 18 national games or something?
Something like that.
Oh no, Utah actually had 11.
Did they?
I
thought they got
more than that. About that. Unless the numbers that I was checking were off, what I saw was Jared Dubin on Twitter. He had them at 11 with 3 TNT games and 8 ESPN games, which means that Denver has tied for the second most in the Northwest division.
Tied for second most. I love the fact that
OKC
is
the most.
Yeah, right. You got to be OKC.
So I was just checking. You are right, though, there. Actually, I guess only one game but they do have an at Philadelphia where they will be on ESPN, and they'll be the early game, which will be nice, you know, because the rest of them
are all going to be late night games for you, Zach.
Yeah, I was like, for all of us who actually stay, you know, have early morning jobs, I think all of them, every single one is an 8:30 start, which is...
Excuse me, I'm on the East Coast, sir. I don't want to hear any of that shit.
Yeah, but you're 21 and in college. You'll sleep until like 1 in the afternoon. Don't give me that.
Just skip class,
like,
run. You've already done that. You know how to do that. You've got your class-giving routine down, Pat. It's fine.
You once overslept for a 2 p.m. podcast. I don't want to hear it.
Actually, it was a 4 p.m.
I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. I couldn't remember.
But yeah, like the way that the game sets up, like I'm glad that we have the national games. It's nice that we're going to get some national exposure here in Denver. People are going to be able to watch the team more who don't just live here. These are all good things. And now we'll see if the Nuggets can take advantage of that. I just remember being called a gimmick team for every national exposure because that's all that John Barry could say about the Nuggets. While they were demolishing people on national TV, he'd be like, well, that's a gimmick team. It's not going to work in the playoffs. Okay.
John Barry's just still bitter.
I know. But I'm looking forward to seeing whether or not the Nuggets will not just get the exposure, but will get some acclaim. They've earned the right to the first one. Now we'll see if they earn the right to the second one.
Right, absolutely. They had a couple of good moments last season, which is why I guarantee you, you know why? One of the biggest reasons that the Nuggets have 14, there's two major reasons the Nuggets have 14 NBA games on national TV this year. and that is Gary Harris hitting a buzzer beater on national TV against Oklahoma City Thunder, and them playing the Minnesota Timberwolves on a winner-take-all game on national TV at the end of the season. Those two games and those two are the, and just those two moments are the big reason that, that the Nuggets are going to be on a lot of national TV games
those
this year.
Those both were contenders for two of the most fun games league-wide last year. Like, the Nuggets were the talk of the town both of those nights. Like, they that game against OKC was just so fun going back and forth with Jamal Murray crossing up Steven Adams and
Nikola Jokic. Like 40 points or something like that.
He hit a shot with 1 second left, 1.4 seconds left, a step back three over Torrey Craig. Like, Nikola Jokic had 29, 14, and 13 that game. Russell Westbrook did his thing. I'm surprised that the Nuggets didn't actually have that much more, to be frank. And I understand that being in that slot makes things difficult. But to me, they seem like a team that you would feature over... well, they just don't have the face. Like, a team like Donovan Mitchell's Utah Jazz and whatnot, like, he's just a face, and it's hard to get around that fact that sometimes you just need to market your guys. And again, that just comes back to, you got to market your guys as best as you can and hope that the national media catches on.
And they probably have the most difficult guy to market as their star player, to be honest. I mean, let's be frank.
I don't know. I think that going the opposite way on things like that attracts certain people. Like Nikola Jokic is a super interesting person.
He is.
And the Nuggets just need to showcase that a little bit more. Like why not make his horse life public? Like, why not send a diary like people after him on his off season and do the diary of Nikola Jokic and his horse riding adventures? Like, come on, who wouldn't, like, Nuggets fans would eat that up.
I don't know if Nikola would want to do that, though. That's the other part of it.
And that's true.
Like, Nikola likes his shorts and his, like, brushing out his horse and his
Gilligan's
hat. Yeah, the hat and the flip flops. Like, he's so anti, like, club life, anti whatever. It's hysterical to me. He is such a giant goober. I adore it about him.
Yeah, that is 100% the truth. Goober is a good way to put it.
But it's understandable with this schedule. I totally get it. I do like some of the national broadcast games that they have going on. They have a couple against Portland, three against Los Angeles, the Lakers. They have the and them Warriors ending against the Minnesota too. Timberwolves. They've got two games against the Warriors on ESPN and TNT, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. So they're going to, like, I think if we count all of their national TV games, including the ones on NBA TV, they have 18. And of all of those, only one, the Dallas Mavericks, did not make the playoffs last year or did not have LeBron.
Right. Yep. It is, it's exciting. It's kind of cool, too, that they get to play, they have a game against every single one of their Northwest Division rivals. It just kind of shows that, just that cool how the rivalries are all kind of growing in that division as well. All right,
it's the best division.
It is. I mean, overall, if you're going to talk about just, you know, median, if you were going to say what the median talent was across the division, it would certainly be the Northwest as the best. I mean, obviously, they don't have the best team, but they have...
Actually, the Atlantic division might be better.
Yeah, that's true.
The Atlantic's close.
It's like, and the rest of the East is garbage. Well, I guess Milwaukee's all right.
That your standard?
Pretty much for the rest of the East outside of the Atlantic. I mean,
sad.
In the South is coming out of there? I mean, who's winning that thing? Miami? Charlotte?
Ugh. It's just going to be trash, man. Yeah. Like, the East is going to be, like, 3.5 teams, because the Wizards are only half a team. Like, they talk big, and then they fold like a lawn chair the second anybody gets near them. So, it's just, the East. We have the Raptors, too. I guess it's 4.5 teams.
That's true. No, I know, but like I said, it's funny. They're pretty much all in the Atlantic. All right, let me throw this at you, Gordon. So give me, I guess, what is the most like worrisome, like 10 game or so stretch of the season that you see?
The end. I'm going with the final 10 games, man.
That was what I was gonna say. Dang it.
Well, I mean, like what? The last 10 games is what? They're home against Detroit after a 4-game road trip. Then they go on the road for Houston and OKC. Then they're home for the Wizards, who, for all I know, could be fighting for home court throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs at that point.
Or just a playoff berth.
Or, yeah, you never know. It's the East. Like, could be whatever. Then you got GSW. You got the Spurs. You've got a home and away with Portland, the Jazz, and you wrap up at home with the Timberwolves. Like, that is brutal.
Right.
That is brutal to finish the season. Again, it's brutal to finish the season.
Right. Meanwhile, it's very reminiscent of last season.
Right. Meanwhile, you have other teams that you look at and their final games, like the Pelicans. The Pelicans might be favored in, like, their last dozen games, 12, 15 games. They might be favored in all of them.
Right.
Like, it's such a weird scheduling quirk that, you know, a couple years in a row, 2-3 years in a row, Denver's been having this, like, grueling, ridiculous end-of-the-year schedule. So you got to get your work done early, man. Like, you've got to get some work done. You cannot blow this early. What is it? They start off the year, what, 11 out of their first 16 games at home?
Right. They've got
well, that's the thing with me is I would actually, banking off of the same question, I think that the first 10 games are the
worst. Well, yeah, I didn't say it was worrisome. He said difficult. Perform. That's different.
Oh, did you say difficult?
Worrisome, okay, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, well, I'm going to go 10 most difficult, absolutely the last 10. Like, obviously, everybody's trying at that point, and I don't think that the playoff picture is going to change that in any way, shape, or form, because I think that all of those teams will be at least competing for the 8th seed. The first 10 games, though, have me the most worried, because there is a lot of potential for potential failure. You have Denver versus the LA Clippers at Staples Center on opening night.
I'm counting that as a loss.
I think that could be a loss. Phoenix comes to Denver at home. I think that's probably a win, but you never know. Golden State comes to Denver on a back-to-back. I'm penciling that in as a loss. Sacramento comes to Denver. Should be a win. I'm going to pencil that in as a win. Denver goes to the Lakers on TNT a couple days later. That's probably going to be a loss. They come back and face the Pelicans, and that's the game where... And then the subsequent games after that, where they go to Chicago and Cleveland and then face Utah and Boston at home, where if you develop a losing streak there, then that's an issue. Those games should all, in all honesty, be like
they're
80%
winnable games.
Well, but understand,
right?
So, this is like the Nuggets have also started slow with Malone historically. Like, they haven't necessarily gotten out of the chute real fast.
Which is why it's worrisome.
They could trip because they've tripped here before, and it doesn't. It looks like it's setting up for a trap. Yep.
Right.
My hope is that Nikola Jokic comes out really strong, because he has historically been a second half of the year player, because it takes him a little bit to get going for whatever reason, or maybe it takes Malone a little bit to get going and using him as his best player. So
I keep hoping we're past that,
hopefully,
man.
Hopefully we don't have those issues this past.
We have to.
Please, at that point, like, I can't do a fourth Groundhog Day. Like, I need this to be known that the guy can play, and maybe we should play with him as a focal point.
As a center.
Honestly, through the first 15 games, the Nuggets should be way closer to 15-0 than they should 7-8. In my opinion. Like, it should be bordering on 11-4, 12-3.
I've got him at, like, I think I have him at, what, 10-5? 9-6?
Yeah. Even that's not, like, bad. If you're at a 10-5, you know, I think they're going to be 6-4 through the first 10. But they have a pretty decent run of games after that, where they could make up some ground.
But that's the point where you don't have time to make up ground. At the second half of the season, the last 25 games are going to be freaking
bad. Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, you can't. What I was going to say,
if you go,
what's funny is the next most 10 most or stretch of 10 most difficult games that the Nuggets have this season actually might be the 10 right before
the last 10. Yeah, I know.
There's 7 of those 10 are on the road, of which 6 I think are against teams that you would expect to be competing for the playoffs. And then your three game homestand is Minnesota, which will be a team competing for the playoffs. The Mavericks, who should be better than last year. I mean, that Mavericks, they actually might be okay this year.
They give the Nuggets hell.
And then they have DeAndre Jordan and they have Luka Doncic, and the Mavericks are an improved team this year for sure. And then you have the Pacers is the other team that you have at the home there. Another playoff team. So yeah, basically after the All-Star break, it's pretty much
you've got to bank wins early. It's going to be a brutal stretch like it was last year. And Denver pulled out a few more of those last year than I expected them to, but because they didn't start fast enough and they threw away early games they should win, they missed the playoffs.
Remember when they ended last year, I think they banked around 31 wins. I think they have to bank at least 35 in order to be pretty safe going into the All-Star break. And that's kind of right around where I have them. But it's still a little bit scary when you talk about going into that with all of these teams, and with teams like New Orleans, who probably, like, whether they're healthy or not, will probably win at least 10 to 12 of those last
games. They will be chasing you down. You have got to have a lead. Yep.
Right.
And Utah starts the season brutally, which means they end the season favorably, so It'll be really interesting to see what happens there.
Absolutely. All right, well, tell you what, we are out of time here on the Pickaxe Pundit Show. So make sure you guys are following us on Twitter. I'm at Zach Mikosh. Gordon is at GMoneyNugs. Ryan is at NBA Blackburn. Of course, follow the Denver Stiffs at Denver Stiffs. Nothing But Net Radio is at NBN-Radio. Make sure you're also checking us out on Instagram at the Denver Stiffs and on Facebook. Give us a follow. Give us a like. If you guys are listening to the podcast version of this show, first of all, why are you not listening to Nothing But Net Radio on the Dash Radio app? You could download it on your phone, listen to it in your car or wherever you go. Like I said, just download the Dash Radio app, look for the Nothing But Net channel. You'll get all kinds of team-specific programming and shows just like this one, as well as some general NBA shows and some great music in between, so definitely worth checking it out. But if you are listening to the podcast version, if you could leave us a rating and subscribe, we would appreciate it. All right, Gordon, Ryan, great show as always. It's always, you know, you had a good show when you covered the Midwest and the Danish basketball MVP.
You can't get any better than that, man. That's peak us.
If you guys are on Twitter, hashtag no fourth.
That's right. Don't even plan one.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.